Well, glory to God. We've been teaching concerning talking about the reign, God, and really you'll see the title's different, but really we're in the same flow, you know. And I want you to stay hooked up in this same flow, because we're dealing with things here about the end times. We're talking about really and preparing ourselves. Randall Greer had made this statement. He said the Lord spoke to him back in 2008 and said concerning the church, he said the church is looking for this great revival to reach the lost. And he said, right now, he said, I'm not trying to reach the lost, I'm trying to reach the church. He said, my emphasis is to reach the church. Because he said, if the church doesn't get reached, the lost don't get reached. We need to understand that. You know, people say, well, you know, people out here are going to hell. But we need to understand, a lot of the people are on the way to hell because of the church. And we need to, as we look into the scriptures, and especially, you know, being a student of concerning things of revival, I have books and stuff and have done study over time on revival. Because there's one thing is I've learned that God doesn't change His patterns how He does things. You know, people come along and you'll find that really the patterns stay the same of revivals of years, when many years passed up into the newer times of revivals. God basically is doing much of the same things. It follows along same pattern lines that revival comes. Revival always came when Christians got revived, not when the world got reached. It's when Christians got revived. And you're going to need this. It's going to require something of you. This is one of the things that's reading in some of the old revivalists. And these statements were made of some of the old revivalists. They talked about really the power of God beginning to move and the lost getting to be reached. And they talked about that many times they had to preach maybe 8 to 12 weeks in a church until they got the Christians turned around, and then the God would start to move. You know, it's one of the things you need to understand. Don't point at the world as why, and our government is why God's not moving. God's not moving because of the church. It's us. It's us. And we need to understand that. It's about us. In other words, God wants us to flow into, you know, a certain way, to walk into certain things. It's one of the things that the Lord, you know, has, you know, dealt with me. I don't know exactly how we're going to go in this. I have a lot of notes and stuff and things, but that don't mean nothing. I've learned that. I mean, I've not got any clear direction. The God's been dealing with a number of things. But He's been talking to me about these, about here in these last days. And one of the things He began to speak to me about is because looking especially here in our nation, and our nation was really a turning point for the world, really, with things really changed worldwide when we would go back to 1900. To the year 1900, God restored the baptism of the Holy Ghost back to the church. And it became a worldwide phenomenon, not just here. But it all, these things started, you know, Parham was a minister, and he's out there in Topeka, Kansas. God sent him there and that stuff. And they went there to the things. They were hungry for God. They wanted more. And they wanted to know if the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for the church today. They wanted to know that. And that's what the whole thing, God worked out and gave them this mansion. That it was a big mansion that had been, you know, sitting idle, gave it to them, and this group of people got together. They came from all over the United States. He never sent any letters out to anybody of what he was doing. God sent people to Topeka, Kansas to go see this guy and about, you know, going to this school, and he never even told anybody he was starting a school. You know, God will do things. You know, it's one of the things that one of the greatest hindrances in the church world today is so many big name ministries, they became God. They have to always make things happen, and it's up to us to make. There's things that God's going to have to do. You know, I started this church. You know, the Lord told me to start a church, and I didn't want to start a church. I didn't want to be no pastor. I didn't want to pastor you guys. I didn't want to get involved in none of that at all. I never had any intent. The Lord never spoke to me till after I left Bible school. If I sit down and think all the Lord's things the Lord talked to me about, He never once ever told me that He wanted me to pastor a church. Never once said anything to me. Never once spoke it. I had zero desire to do it. And He said, I want you to start a church. And I said, well, you know, Lord, you know, this just ain't the thing. I have zero interest. And so I knew the devil was talking to me. You know, Well, there's number one is to this. Most of you have all been taught in church, you know, to use your talents for God. And I'm going to tell you, throw that junk out. Quit using your talents and use what God gives you, not your talents. You know, you can have all kind of natural talents. That don't mean nothing. You know, my natural talents mean nothing concerning the ministry because God has me do everything under the sun except for what the talents that I have to do things. And you're going to find that out. It isn't a matter of our talents, what God wants to use you for. And so I got over the thing, and I didn't want to go in that direction. I didn't want to move there. But anyhow, through great convincing of God, who one day rebuked me over the thing because I wouldn't start it. I drug my feet for a number of months and wouldn't start it because I knew, number two, starting the church was going to cause me a lot of problems because of some other ministries. They were going to be very unhappy because they were in the flesh about things, and they were going to turn around and get all ugly about it. And so I didn't want to do it from that standpoint. There was a lot involved in it. But the Lord finally told me one day, and I was praying about this thing with the church thing again, and He told me, spoke to me very clearly. You know, sometimes, you know, you just get the inward witness. This wasn't an inward witness. This was a voice. And it said to me, get up off your feet and do what I told you to do. I don't want to ever hear you pray about this again. Well, I said, yeah, I guess that ends that one. We're going to do this. But you know what? I put God on the spot on the thing. I said, Lord, you want me to do this? I said, I am not running around trying to start a church. I said, I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to go out and try to invite people, then go on and telling people I'm starting a church. I said, you're the one that said this thing, and I expect you to do something about it. I expect you to do something about bringing this to pass. You're going to have to do something. So I did nothing. I said, okay, I'm willing, Lord. Here I am. Now do something. You do something. See, most people don't do that. Right away they say, well, now I got to go do all this and all that. I mean, I've gotten more, you know, young ministers trying to go in the ministry and call me and say, well, how do you start a church? Where do you get the money? I said, look, if God can't start it, you stay home. You know, don't go out there, because if you start it, oh my God, it's going to be you and it'll be a mess. And after a while, it'll be your ministry. And, you know, it becomes you. And I said, it can't be that. You know, if God can't provide the money, if that has to be the front thing, and he's going to have to do those things. Well, anyhow, had a guy came to me and said, would you start a church? I never said nothing to nobody. This is, you know, so I never said anything, and I just, you know, told God, you know, you need to do something if you want this thing to work. And so he came and he said, do you want to start a church? Well, I didn't tell him that God told me to start a church. I didn't say nothing to him about it. It's up to God to tell him. You know, if God wants to talk to him about it, I didn't say a thing. So what we did, we talked about this for a few weeks and talked about it. I said, well, this is what we'll do. I said, we'll go to your house. We'll come to your house on a Sunday morning, and we're going to pray. And we'll just pray. See what God wants to do with this. And we'll just get together. I said, we can fellowship, pray together, read the word together. God wants to do something fine. I didn't tell him that God told me to start a church. I didn't say anything about it. I just, you know. So we got together the first Sunday. It was Wanda and my two daughters and that stuff. And it was us and this couple. So, you know, we had just a big crowd there in this living room. And we're just, you know, prayed, read the word together, fellowship some together, went home. So we come back the next Sunday. And the next Sunday, we come back. And this is what I said to them. I said, don't you tell anybody we're starting a church. Because I said, I haven't said them we're starting a church. I haven't said that. I said, don't you tell anybody. And they said, okay, we won't tell anybody. We won't say a thing. I said, we'll pray about this, see what God's going to do. We don't tell them. Because I didn't tell nobody nothing. My wife and them didn't tell it. I'm sure my kids didn't go spread it. They, you know. So we come back the next Sunday, and 20 people showed up. And every one of them said somebody told them, but nobody knew who it was. I know somebody told me that you were, and they showed, 20 people showed up at that house. Without advertisement. Now, can you imagine? Is God that big? Is He really that big? Now, I can hardly believe it. You wouldn't know it today. You wouldn't know God could ever do such a thing. But those people showed up, and I'll never forget that. We're standing, I remember looking out the kitchen window of their home, and there was a parking lot to the hospital out on the back, and these cars were pulling in, and people were getting them. I thought, what on earth is going on at these people? Get, and here they're coming there. And I say, who told them? I, the couple was in. I said, did you talk to people about it? No, we said nothing to nobody. But God got a hold of people and sent them there. Well, that's what happened to Pyro. God sent people to him, And in the January 1st, there was a lady got filled with the Holy Ghost. They found out it was from God. And one of the women there got... Anyhow, that's what started the whole thing off. And Azusa Street came out of that. So what came out of those things and all that big move of God. And it really changed things in America and on down through. We need to understand the moves of the Spirit in these last days, the moves of God in the last days here have come through groups of people filled with the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that. This last move of God, we need to understand, it's just like when I came into the kingdom, the charismatic move came along, and all these people, God was moving to get the church filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we need to get into the flow of what God is doing and understand what God's doing. The church is trying to bring revival really naturally. They're trying to do it naturally. You can't. It's a supernatural event inspired by God. But what we need to do is go after the things of God. You and I don't have to sit down and wonder if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today. We should know that. We should know that it is for today. The Bible tells us, and the Bible says so. I want you to look at it. One of the things is there's I remember being in a church as a young boy and then hearing people talk about it after, and even after I was saved, you know. And people would talk about the day of Pentecost came, and they would say that the day of Pentecost was when the church was started. And you've heard me teach on this before. The church did not start on the day of Pentecost. The church already existed on the day of Pentecost. The church exists through people believing that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. Well, did the disciples believe that? Did the 120 believe that Jesus was Lord and that God raised him from the dead? Well, they sure did. They ran into him. They got to see him personally raised from the dead. They got to meet him. They got born again. I want you to see something, because in the book of Acts in the first chapter, and I want to see what Jesus said to these people, and we need to understand that if we're going to flow in this latter rain, we need to understand, we need to follow the pattern that Jesus Christ himself laid out for the church. We have to follow this pattern. Why? Because there's places you and I will never go into the Spirit. You need to get this, and you need to understand. There are things that you and I over the years have tried to do and minister to people that we cannot minister to them. People are going to have to get filled with the Spirit to enter into certain things, and you can try to teach them all you want and it'll never work. If they won't get full of the Holy Ghost, there's places of the Spirit, there's no reason for God to even try to take them there, because they can't walk in it. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to do it. And we need to understand this. The day of Pentecost starts. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. We find these disciples, now we know that there's been a huge change in them, because these guys, after the crucifixion of Jesus, they're hid out. Well, they ain't hid out no more. These men are changed. These men and women are changed. They're, the Bible says, with joy. You know, they went down to Jerusalem with joy. They went down, didn't say they went down there like they were before, hiding out. They're not hiding out anymore. These people have passed from death unto life. And we need to understand that. Jesus now, we find in Acts, the first chapter, verse 4, and it said, now, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them, now listen, he commanded them something. This is a command. This is not, if you'd like to do this, or this is not a suggestion. This is called a command. So just like we talk, people say, well, you know the Ten Commandments. Well, we know this. Here's a command by Jesus Christ himself. He commanded these ones, he said, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. You see, he told them. Now, number one, have you ever heard anybody preach a sermon to get people saved and said, you know what you need? You need the promise of the Father. That's what you need. Did you ever hear anybody do that? Well, if this is when the church started, then this should be the stuff we should be preaching to get people saved, wouldn't we? If this is what it's about, how to get saved. It's not how to get saved. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says to them, he said, what you heard from me. You've heard from me. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be born again. Is that what it says? No, it don't. Jesus ain't preaching salvation. He ain't preaching born again here. Why? Because they're already born again. Do we preach to people to get saved? What you need to be is baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to be. Well, no, we don't. You see, the doctrine, when men preach a doctrine that says that the day of Pentecost was the day that the church started, it automatically led to wrong teaching. Because really, it's not what the Bible teaches. It didn't start then. These guys are here. They have a command that you stay put. You don't go anywhere till this event takes place. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, not many days from now. Now, I want you to understand this. This is something the Lord spoke to me years ago here, studying these things and looking in these things in Scripture. He said, did you notice I told them that you don't go out and minister, you don't go no place till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, that's still my command to the church today, but they don't listen. Most of the church, well, the majority of the church world is only as much as, and when I say majority, I'm talking about 80-some percent, the Lord spoke to me about this, is either in the good will of God or permissive will of God. There's a very small percentage of Christians that go into the perfect will of God. One of the main reasons is the perfect will of God is every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the perfect will of God. If a person is not baptized in the Holy Ghost, now I'm not knocking anybody, they're saved, but they cannot get into the perfect will of God because it has been commanded by God for the believers to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So to enter the perfect will of God, you're going to have to get filled with the Spirit. You're going to have to. Why? Because if you don't get filled with the Spirit, there's things God could never lead you to. He told these guys, you don't go no place. He didn't say, oh, hey, go out and round, go ahead and preach and do things. Didn't he tell them about going and preaching the gospel to every creature? And but he said, you don't go do that till this event takes place. You need this for it to happen. Because this is what happens. When people start doing their own thing and have their own power. See, we're singing a song today, not by power, not by might. It's talking about our own power and our own might. Much of what ministry takes place today is under the might of people and the power of people and not by the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Baptist Southern Baptist Church finally figured out. They stopped and said, hey, you know what? These Spirit-filled people are doing a better job, missionaries reaching people out here than we do because of the manifestations of the Spirit. They realized that. Hey, this healing stuff and that draws people. Duh. You know, it's like having a hospital where nobody ever gets well. Not many people want to visit it. Not many people want to visit the dead church of America. They don't want to visit it. They won't be around it. They don't want you to sit and tell them Jesus loves them all they want. They want some proof of something. You know, we got to have some proof. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about the proof of God. It's about God showing and revealing Himself. But remember this, God always manifests Himself through people. And see, we see the disciples. We find out with them the events and stuff that took place. What happened to them after the baptism of the Holy Spirit? God works through people. This move of God's coming, I've said it many times, and I want you to get it again. It ain't going to just happen. If He can't get a people to work it through, He's going to have to find somebody to work it through because He uses people. He demonstrates His power through people. That's what He does. He don't just demonstrate His power. He does it through people. You ever seen the Old Testament prophets? I mean, did God manifest His power without Moses? Did He do it without Elijah or Elisha or any of them? Did He ever do it? No. Well, you can pray night and day all you want for God to do something powerful. But if He can't operate through you, there's a good chance you have a lot of friends who are in the same boat. Ain't nobody, everybody's waiting for God to do something and they're not really prepared for God to move through them. God moves through people. That's what He does. You know, He operates through people. Hey, you know, we don't sit down here on Sunday morning. I sit down here and a voice just speaks from heaven and gives us a sermon, does it? Well, it don't work that way, does it? Well, none of it works like that. But that's what the church, you know, thinks that Jesus is working like the United States government. You just stay home, they'll send you a check. You don't have to go to, God will just do this stuff. No, He won't. He operates through people. He does. And that's the way he is. But we've been commanded, and I want you to get a hold of that. We've been commanded to be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's a funny thing. I remember back, you know, when I came into the kingdom, man, I'm going to tell you, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost was the biggie. You got people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the top of the agenda. And you know what? God moved. And you know why we don't have a move of God today? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit has either been removed from the Spirit-filled churches, it's been removed from the Spirit-filled homes of America, it's been removed, people don't even bother doing it anymore or even thinking about it, and it's been removed out of the way, it's been hidden to a back room. If they're going to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost after the service is over, hide them in a back room somewhere and do this thing, because we don't want people, you know, because somebody may not understand. I'm going to tell you what, if we ain't going to do stuff because people ain't understand, have Jesus come, because I don't even want to stay here another second, because most people don't understand a thing. Most people are as dumb as a stick. Most of the church world has no spiritual sense. And so we can't stop truth. Thank God Pyram and them didn't care about that. They're going to preach the truth. They're going to preach what they went on what was true. And it brought, you know, do you ever think of that revival? The revival of 1900. Really, we have the Assemblies of God Church and all these different Pentecostal church movements came out of that. They all came out of that thing, that movement of these things we have today. It was because of that. The revivals of the 1950s took place, but and really one of their great emphasis was getting people filled with the saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Loads of people in America. We turn around and we had the charismatic renewal, and God went crazy and went into all the different denominations filling people with the Holy Ghost. And now today, we can have churches 20, 30, 45, 50, 100,000 people in them, and they don't even have anything to do with it. Why? You can draw crowds without God. Men has found through their power, they can draw people to themselves. And they can publish the latest books, and everybody just marvels at them, and how wonderful you are. And they don't even know just Jesus. I watched one time the pastor of the largest church in America, and I watched him. He was doing an interview, and a person came up to him thanking him for all he did for him. He never told him to say, hey, you know, this is God working through. He's like, well, I'm just glad I could help you like I did and all this. I mean, he's just taking the credit for everything. And I thought, that scumbag, you ain't going to live long. You keep doing this kind of stuff, taking the glory to yourself. But he might as well, it was him. It was him. He might as well take the credit. I'll tell you what, folks, I don't read their books. I don't want their spirit. I don't care. Somebody will say, well, there's some good things in there. I don't want to have to dig through manure up to my knees to find something good. Maybe you do. Go ahead. But I will tell you what, you're going to come out stinking. You're going to come out stinking. This is why a lot of Christians have a lot of problems today, because they've been in the manure. They've been in the manure with a lot of this teaching and stuff just to find a little nugget here and there. Those nuggets ain't worth it. I'm going to tell you, I want the gold vein, not the nugget. I ain't panning for gold. Hallelujah. Man, I want the gold mine. Glory to God. I want the smelter that melts it down. But what some people want, I don't want. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get by. But we need to understand this. I had made mention to you concerning the fire of God and talking about the fire of God. And we as believers, especially, you know, walking in the light of this, Jesus made mention of this in Matthew, the third chapter, and in verse 11, Jesus spoke it. He said, in Matthew, the third chapter, and this is not Jesus, but this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist made this statement. He said about this, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Remember we're talking about fire? He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, fire's for the church. It's not for the world. Fire's for the church. When Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, the fire fell for the believers. you know, Israel was the top of the church. You know, they were the believers. They were the covenant people. The fire didn't fall on the world. And the fire's not going to fall on the world. God's fire is to fall on the church. Did you notice it says that he would baptize you, excuse me, with the Holy Spirit and fire? See, I don't quite know today, and I have to agree with John G. Lake. I don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I understand this. I believe in you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you speak in other tongues. But I also believe you get fire. When I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, I got fire. The fire. Do you know what the fire is? See, people are going to, well, you know, people say, oh, we want the fire of God. Well, what is the fire of God? They ain't got a clue. They use these terminologies, don't even mean. The fire of God was God's power that worked through them through demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. That's the fire of God. That's what worked through them. That was the fire. Most Christians got filled with the Holy Spirit and never had any manifestation of God through them at all. They never got fire. John G. Lake said this. He didn't like what he saw in his later years of life. He said, I don't understand. He said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, these ministers getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. But he said, I don't see the fire. I don't see the fire. Did you get the fire? John said, I wasn't supposed to just get the Holy Ghost. I was supposed to get fire. And I did. I got fire. Gifts and manifestation of the Spirit started operating through me immediately. I started getting words of knowledge and stuff, things like that. Never had that kind of stuff before. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And to me, getting filled with the Holy Ghost was greater than the actual new birth to me. It changed my life the most. I saw a definite change in me, you know, from getting born again. But, I mean, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was a real difference. And I just got baptized in the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. I'd been listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching on receiving the Holy Spirit. So I just decided, why wait for church? My God. And I just went in my bedroom and I was, I'd gotten saved in January, and at the end of February, I got filled with the Holy Ghost just in my bedroom. And I said, well, praise God. I just believe I received the Holy Ghost. I just want to thank you, Lord, filling me with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I didn't have any kind of great feeling at the time. I didn't have any kind of, I just knew I'm operating in line with the Word. And I said, Lord, your Word tells you, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's an evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And I said, you must give me utterance. You're going to have to. And I started speaking in tongues. And when I first started speaking in tongues, you know what? It sounded like it was just me. And you know what it was? It was just me. God don't talk in tongues. The Holy Ghost don't talk in tongues. We do. Kenneth Hagin made a wonderful statement. He said, some people worried if they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll get in the flesh. He said, there ain't no other way to get it. There ain't no other way to get it. Because your flesh is going to have to operate it. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to do it. See, people are waiting for the Holy Ghost to talk. Well, I want the Holy Ghost to move my lips. Well, good luck. He's been trying to move the lips of born-again Christians for centuries and hasn't been able to do that. I mean, I'd just sit and I'd pray in tongues. You know, it's a funny thing. I'd pray in other tongues, and it just seemed to me it wasn't doing a thing. It wasn't doing nothing. I mean, I didn't have any great feeling. I don't know. Some people, and it happens to people, some people, it's a very dramatic thing. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, power of God hit them. I've ministered to people the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They say, my God, when you touched me, the power of God came on me. And I think, dear Lord, it never happened to me. And I say, oh man, they knew the power. Sometimes that happened. To me, it didn't. The night I got saved, all these people say, oh, they got saved, they felt this great weight lift off of them. I never had none of that. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes there are manifestations of things happen to people, but it didn't to me. But I understand why God never really dealt with me over with manifestations like that, because one thing I realized later in years is to be able to teach people how to operate in faith. Most people are trying to get other people what they have out of their experience. They experience something, they expect that person ought to do it too. You can't do that. Sometimes people have great experience. I had no experience. But I'd sit around, I'd pray in other tongues. And I would go through this and say, well, you know, Bible says do it. Kenneth Hagin said, pray in other tongues. He showed me in the scripture, it says, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. And I'm praying and I didn't feel no edification whatsoever. You see, it wasn't edifying my flesh or my mind. It wasn't edifying that. It was my inner man. It was my spirit. See, if you want to have a feeling to think something's going on in your spirit, you'll probably never do too much. I had no feeling whatsoever. So I went through this thing, and I was going on for a number of weeks doing this. And one day I was at work. I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I'll never forget it. I could take you at that time. I could tell you exactly where I was sitting in the cafeteria and that stuff. I could tell you where I was sitting. I remember sitting at the end of the table, the windows, the cafeteria looking out 422 behind me, and I'm sitting there. The devil had been bugging me for days, saying, you know what, that's just you that isn't doing anything, isn't doing nothing. And man, I tell you, he was tormenting me in my mind. My mind was over in this area about, yeah, when you pray in tongues, that's just you, and you're making noise and you're doing this. And you know, I'm going through this thing and I'd go pray in tongues. And oh man, he just bugged me terrible about this. And it would go on and on. And I'll never forget walking over there and sitting down at that table at lunchtime, and the Spirit of the Lord rose up inside of me and said, if you ain't doing anything by praying in tongues, he would be encouraging you to do it. He just settled that for me. Just settled right there. I thought, yeah, if I want, wouldn't the devil be telling you, go at it if you ain't doing anything? You know, sometimes we just don't use good logic. There's some good logic, you know. And we tell people that the devil comes and bugs you about something, there's a good chance you're on the right track. I've learned that. If the devil's bugging me a lot, there's a good chance I'm doing something right if he's bugging me about it. Because he wants me to stop doing it. Well, that ended it. Never from that time on did I ever, if any voice or anybody said you shouldn't pray in tongues, I'd just laugh at them and say, oh, God, deliver that poor idiot. You know, they don't know. Poor person just don't know. They're just dumb. They don't have a clue. And but the whole thing of it is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It revolutionized and changed my life. Now, back during those days and stuff going on, I got involved with the Full Gospel Businessman. The whole point of the Full Gospel Businessman and the collapse of the Full Gospel Businessman was because they left the vision. They left the vision of getting people filled with the Holy, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they became, and after a while, it became like a church thing, a church event, and all their speakers and that stuff. But they left the whole purpose of what it was set up for. God wanted people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's His agenda. That's the norm of Christianity. Anything that doesn't have that is not normal. Is not normal. It is not normal. The norm is to be saved. If we look in the book of, from the book of Acts on through, the norm of all the church was the fact that you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul told the church at Corinth, if somebody comes, a believer comes in among you, he's unlearned, which means he don't know the things of the Spirit. He said, if everybody just talks in tongues all the time and nobody interprets, he said, they'll think you're crazy. But so in other words, there's people who are unlearned. The majority of the church world is unlearned. The majority. Majority of Spirit-filled people are unlearned. They think they'll, and I've heard among them, loads of, well, you don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry, that's not the pattern of the New Testament. The New Testament has no such pattern. Because that's why they went from teaching that to now you don't have to get saved to go to heaven. You start changing the patterns of the Bible, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to end up preaching the devil's sermons. You follow the patterns of the Bible. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking under tongues, Jesus told the disciples, don't you leave this place till you get that. You don't go out and preach something somewhere till you get this. Because that was the norm. Paul went to Ephesus and he asked the believers, hey, did you guys get the Holy Ghost since you believed? Did you get it? Well, what? Wouldn't that dumb? He's going among people of believers and the first thing he asked them if they're full of the Holy Ghost? Well, today it's no, you already got that. You got saved. Well, if you did, those poor dummies didn't know it. Paul was an ignoramus going around and preaching, talking dumb stuff. Nobody knew. See, the church world, when the church world believes that the church started on the Pentecost was about the church starting, all this false doctrine got preached out of that. Everybody, you know, it's one thing. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, how do you know it? All these people saying, I was listening to one minister, big name ministers on TV and radio. He's on thousands of radio stations probably and loads of TV stations. I mean, all over the place. And he was talking one time about what you had to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be spirit filled. But I listened to his, the Christians would be, you know, spirit filled, what you got to do so you'd be first spirit filled. And the whole thing is though, is he left out. And a person asked him a question, well, how do you know when you get there? He couldn't answer. How could you arrive at something? When I got born again, I knew it. When I got born again, I knew it. I passed from death unto life, and I knew it. Something happened to this boy. I became a different man. I mean, ask my wife. I mean, she got saved. She told me. She said, I thought you were just going on one of these new things. But she said, man, I'm living with a different guy. Why? There was a manifestation of the new birth. See, I don't believe this, getting saved and don't have a manifestation of it. I don't believe in people getting saved, say, I made a confession with Jesus, and I'm just going to live like hell, and I'm going to get to heaven. I don't believe in those things. I believe there's manifestations. When you do things that the Bible says, if it don't show up, you know, they say, people, I'm believing God, and then whatever they're believing for never shows up. Well, there's something wrong here with that, isn't there? There's got to be manifestation of things that got to manifest, or you have no proof that it works. You have no proof. Well, there's proof of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's proof. People speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. And there's supposed to be another manifestation, and that's a fire, the fire of God. And that's the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in their operation. You will never go to a church anywhere, and I'll just put it out straight. You'll never go into a church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues where the ministers or the people are operating in gifts of the Spirit. It don't happen. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't use faith and believe God to be healed. You know, you could believe God for healing, but you won't have manifestations of gifts of healings. You won't have those. They don't have those. You won't go into those churches and find people prophesying. And people, they don't do that stuff. Nobody's given tongues and interpretation. There's not words of knowledge. My word, they think all that's gone. You get up and give a word of knowledge, they run you out of town. They'll tar and feather you. They'll run you out. You know, you'll do that. That's the devil. They call God the devil. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. Now, I'm not knocking. Thank God they got saved. They got that far. But they don't know the Bible. And you know one thing? If we can't bring people into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's no use trying to take them beyond other stuff. It ain't going to work. You're not going from first grade to college. You're not going to do it. And see, people, you need to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit revolutionized my life. It opened me up to things I had never seen or known before. I could see, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I started understanding things. See, when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, Jesus talked about this. Can you imagine the importance of the Holy Spirit, which the church understands as a whole, understands very little about? We talk about the Holy Spirit. You go into a lot of churches, the Holy Spirit's just a term that's used once in a while. But you realize how many God don't talk to people. The Holy Spirit parked in you and lives in you and he ain't got a voice. They think it's weird, you know, people hearing from God. People, they think it's strange. To me, I'm 100% this way, 100%. People that don't hear from God, I think are strange. Christians that don't hear from God, they're weird. Because they're not the norm. They're not normal Christianity. Normal Christianity is the book of Acts. That's normal Christianity. And see, if we want a move of God, and that's what happened. Back in 1900, a move of God started, and those things became the norm. That was the norm. The church today as a whole is not normal. It is not the church. It is some kind of organization of people that got saved, but are not operating under the norm of God. And they talk about knowing God. You can't know God and live some kind of other thing and preach other kind of stuff. You can't know it. See, they left the foundation. People want revival today without the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on all flesh. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. That's what it is. On the day of Pentecost, what did Peter say? This is what Joel said. I'm going to pour my Spirit out on your sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy. Now, do we ever preach salvation from that? Say, now look, see, that was the day of Pentecost. That was for getting saved. They were talking about getting... I didn't prophesy to get saved. See, we have all these things, and this is why we have so much clutter. It's been taught in the church world today. There's so much clutter that the simple gospel is not a simple gospel anymore. It's cluttered with all of men's ideas and men's junk thrown into it, and it's piled up with all of its garbage, and Christians walk around, and after a while, wonder even if God likes them. They don't know, because, look, we know by the witness of the Spirit we're saved. That's what the Bible says. You get over, and Christianity today is mostly flesh. Well, you can't hear the Spirit. And so people, you know, it doesn't surprise me. They live so carnal because they're not in contact with the inner man. They're walking around with a witness in them of who they belong to. They're just following their religious codes. You know, I go here to the biggest church in town, and I go, and we're nice people. We do good, and we feed the hungry down here, and we go down there and take care of the poor that don't work and don't want to work, and we go down there and make sure they have lots of food. They live like hell. We even give them money so they can go to the bar. You know, we got to help them out, you know. We got to do because we're such wonderful people. And so we're doing the work of Jesus, and Jesus is puking in the toilet of heaven, watching what goes on. God wants people filled with the Holy Ghost. That's His whole desire. And if we want to see this move of God that's coming, is number one, we got to go back and dig the wells that we had before and drink of those wells again. We can't turn around. We're not going to go out ahead without the Holy Ghost. We're not going to go out without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to find this. That's going to be an emphasis in this latter rain, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost brought back to the forefront again. Hallelujah. This is one thing as I had within myself as a young Christian. I had no, you know, I didn't want to go to services to watch other people perform. Most Christians like that. We're you know, they want to go watch. They go to a Benny Hinn service is to watch Benny perform. And Benny knows the Holy Ghost. He does know the Holy Ghost. He knows how to yield to the Holy Ghost to do things. And he understands, but they go watch him perform. You know what? When I got to be a Christian, I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, and much times what I got from Kenneth Hagin wasn't what loads of people listen to Kenneth Hagin got. All I got out of it to me was like, I want that to work through me. I don't want somebody else. And, oh, let's believe God, we go to a service and God does something through somebody else. No, let's go to a service and God works through me. I want God to show up in it. Most people are satisfied. See, we live in a society, and it's sort of like the gaming industry. You sit down and you just watch a performance, and you get to play around with it, but it's not really you. I've always had this desire. If God's going to move, I want Him to move through Ed. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was wonderful to me because it was about God moving through Ed. Most people think baptism of the Holy Ghost was about tongues. Tongues was so I could pray in tongues, edify myself, build myself up so God could move through me. And most people thought, oh, it's just tongues, it's this nice thing, it just happened over here. Tongues is of no good to us if it doesn't manifest things. It's of no it doesn't matter to have it. It manifests things. It causes things to happen. Praying in other tongues makes things take place. You know, I just want to read you a scripture. See, I had all these notes up here. They would have really been good to use, too. I'll tell you, they would have been some good ones I could have really gave you. I want you to look over here at Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to teach you something here today. This is not Ed Gibson's teaching. Neither is it Kenneth Hagin's teachings. This teaching that I'm going to talk to, this verse that I'm going to talk to you about, is Jesus Christ and His appearance to Kenneth E. Hagin in February 1959. Jesus Christ told him what this scripture meant. Jesus Christ spoke to him and told him concerning this scripture. And I want you to see this because about with us believers. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1, very familiar, we've used this many times. Jesus Christ quoted this scripture to Kenneth E. Hagin. He quoted it to him from the New King James because that's what Kenneth Hagin was familiar with. You know, so I always found this very interesting. God talks to me with scriptures according to the Bible I use. He does. He'll quote scripture. Now, see, I was very versed in the King James and the New King James now. I started using the New King James last time just for people's sake. But King James, he either talks to me in those two. When he gives me a scripture, he'll quote it to me. In either of those, he does, because that's what I'm familiar with. And he talks to me in those and says things to me in those. Now, that doesn't mean that he's just back in the King James and the New King James. That doesn't mean that. But see, that's where I'm familiar with the scriptures. And when he talks to me according to what I'm familiar with. And he'll do the same for you, what you're familiar with. Well, anyhow, he went and quoted it in the King James. But anyhow, this scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he quoted that scripture. Then, he went on to 2. So in other words, We're supposed to present our bodies to God. In other words, this the whole thing and teachings that people are doing about, see, you can live in the flesh, and if you sin, you don't have to repent. There's no, why would Jesus have used this scripture telling people they need to present their bodies to God? They need to get right. I want to show you then what he said, and here's a revelation. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't live like the sinner and say it's all right. I'm forgiven. I don't have to ask God to forgive me. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you think. Now listen, here's the revelation. For this purpose, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now years ago, I heard Kenneth Hagin teach this about Jesus doing this. The Lord used this scripture a number of times over the years to explain some things to me about what was going on, because I was talking to him about the condition of the church and things happening and going on concerning this scripture. Now, he said you can prove that what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin and he said, he used the term, in fact, you will find some translations, when they say good and acceptable, it says permissive. Permissive. The good, the permissive, and the perfect will of God. Now, Jesus had appeared to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, February 1959, was in a hospital. Let me just explain a little bit about this. He was in a meeting, and he fell. What happened was he jumped down off a platform, the platform he was on in a meeting, and like I said, platform about this high here. And he had forgot about it back in those days. They were recording it, and they had a reel-to-reel recorder sitting down here. And when he jumped off in air, he saw he was going to come down on the recorder. He tried to shift himself, and he fell, and he hit the floor, and he knocked his elbow out of joint. I mean, just like tore the ligaments and stuff, messed it up. In fact, the doctors told him if his elbow would have broken, it would have been better than what happened with it, what happened to it. But he was on his way to the hospital. He finished his sermon and everything and ministered people and then went to the hospital afterwards. Anyhow, on the way to the hospital, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him on the inside, not an audible voice, but just told him, don't be concerned, everything's going to turn out fine. Well, Kenneth Hagin went to the hospital, and he was in the hospital, and they had x-rayed him and done everything. It was the following day. He said he was laying in the bed in the hospital. And they had explained to him what had gone on and all these things that happened. And he said that it was in the evening, and he said he heard footsteps coming down the hallway. He said he just thought it was a nurse or doctor, something was coming down through, and came down to his room. And he said the door pushed open, and he said the person walked in, and he said he just happened to look up and he saw a white robe and feet with Roman sandals on him. And he said this, why, I don't know. He just said every time Jesus ever appeared to be before, he was barefooted. And he said this time he was wearing Roman sandals. Now, this was an absolute open vision. There's a difference in types of visions. I have never in my life had an open vision. An open vision is a vision that you have where all your eyes are open, the senses and everything, and something appears to you, I mean, just right, you know, shows up right in front of you with, you know, everything in the surroundings and all. Jesus appeared to him, walked in the room, walked over, picked a chair up, slid the chair over to the bed and sat down and talked with him for an hour and a half in the room. It's an open vision. Now, Brother Hagin didn't have many of those, the open visions. But Jesus sat down and talked to him, and he talked to him about what went on and why what happened happened. This stuff's important. He said to Brother Hagin, he said, now I want you to understand this. He said, you might wonder why I let this happen. He said, I could have stopped it, but he said, I didn't want to. And he said, there's a reason. He said, if I hadn't let the devil do what he did to you, he said, you would have died when you were 55 years old because you got into my permissive will. You weren't walking in my perfect will. Now, I want you to understand this, and I mean, don't get nervous. You need to understand this. The amount of revelation that Brother Hagin was given in that stuff, the stuff that God had dealt with him, anointed him to do and had talked to him, I mean, all the visitations that he had and everything. And he, in fact, that Jesus said to this about what he talked to him. He said, the reason, I want you to say, this is the reason it happened. He said, because he said you put the teaching ministry before the prophet's ministry. Can you imagine? He said you just spoke at a minister's convention and you just told them you're a teacher and a prophet. He said, I talked to you three times about this, about putting your prophet's ministry before. He said, you're a prophet first, secondly a teacher. And he went down and took him through the scriptures and showed him. He said, the prophet is always mentioned ahead of the teacher through the scriptures. So see, in your calling and that stuff, it doesn't make a difference. Now, understand, you know, you don't get nervous. Well, my God, I'm going to die. You need to understand, it's according to your calling. God expects a lot of things out of me that you guys may be able to get away with. See, some of you times people think that, well, Ed, but you're just too tight about some things. For me, I have to be. I can't be like other people. I've been given a lot of revelation about things. God's revealed a ton of stuff to me about things. And I have to walk in the light of it. You walk in the light of where you're at. You walk in the light of where you're. But I got to walk in the light of it. You just can't go out and just let things go. You know, God's been very patient and kind to me concerning ministry. And, you know, because, you know, he's like with me. It is much easier, it is much nicer to get up and talk to people and just sit around and follow notes. I said, most people want to do. You know, most ministers, I mean, they're big-name ministers, they're on television. They read their sermons. They read them. They got them out written out from word for word. And they go over those things all week, and then when they preach, it's almost like, I think it'd be easier just do it a teleprompter and get yourself. But basically, they're reading a sermon off. It's a thing that they wrote out. I know ministers that do that. They write their entire sermon out. They write that whole thing out, and that's what they do on Sunday. I can't do that. I don't think they should either, but they do. Because I think you sort of close the door and the Holy Ghost wanting to do something. But you know, most people are afraid to get up and talk anything unless they got their notes on it. They always need that. And you know, it's one of the things is the Lord dealt with me about being learned to be led by the Spirit. See, I learned to do that concerning teaching. I had to learn to be led by the Spirit. And you know, that's not always easy. I mean, I don't know about you. I like having the notes. It is easy, you know. You don't have to pray or seek God as much to follow the notes. You don't need to hear from heaven. I just look on the look on my notepad there. Hey, there it is, right there. We are. We got it, bud. Woo, we're doing good. But the Lord spoke to him about that. He said, "You got into my permissive will," and he said, "I've let you go. I've talked to you three times about this." And he said, "If I wouldn't have let the devil do this," he said, "you'd have just stayed on your way." Basically, what God did is woke him up. Said, okay, you got out there, now bang. And that changed it. Well, God turned around. He ended up, you know, he got a quick recovery and stuff. And the doctors told him he'd never be able to touch his shoulder with that arm again, but he could. I mean, God, the Lord told him, you know, if everything worked out good at it. But he had to make a change concerning that, concerning what he was doing. And the Lord dealt with him. He said, "You got into my permissive will." It's probably been over 10 years ago. It's been over longer than that. The Lord spoke to me about this scripture one day. Just among the strangest things. I mean, I can tell you exactly what. I was driving my car, minding my own business, wasn't praying, seeking God about nothing. And the Lord up and spoke to me and spoke this scripture to me. And he talked about his goodwill and his permissive will and his perfect will. And he said to me, very small percentage of the church gets into my perfect will. Jesus, and I knew what he was talking about because Kenneth Hagin said this about ministers. Jesus told him this: most ministers live and not die and never get into my perfect will. Now think about that. He said most ministers. Well, let me just say this. If most ministers can't get into the perfect will, the people sure can't. You're not going to go any further than your teachers. You're not going to go any further than your teachers. See, I want to get in the perfect will of God. For me to walk in the perfect will of God just ain't for Ed, it's for others. If a minister don't know how to walk in the perfect will of God, he can't lead anybody else to nothing. Today, we got big name ministers out here. They're doing all kinds of stuff and ain't the perfect will of God. They're either in the good will or the permissive will. You know what the good will of God is? That's to be born again. That's it. You know, most Christians are right there at that spot. They're in the goodwill of God. They never go any further than their life. They never go on to even the permissive will. They're just in the goodwill. They get saved and basically, oh, I'm going to heaven, an old sinner, saved by grace. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I just sin every day. And that's the goodwill of God. You know? And they die and they go to heaven. Praise God! You know, they're saved. They go to heaven. That's good. But can you imagine living in this life and never doing the perfect will of God? I decided a long time ago I wanted to do the perfect will. When the Lord spoke to me and he told me, he said it was 80-some percent, he said, of Christians are in my good will. He said, that's where they ever go. Then he gave me another percentage of the permissive will, and the perfect will was a lot smaller. But see, you can't have the preaching that we have today. The majority of the preaching, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you don't get it, it's okay. You'll get to heaven. Yeah, you'll get to heaven. But what about doing the will of God here? Understand this. If you understand those terms, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin in 1987 and told him, he said, you don't have to pray and ask me to bless you if you're in my perfect will. He said, in my perfect will is my full blessing. See, sometimes we wonder why some people, why they get blessed so much. What happens? They get over in the perfect will of God, and blessing comes. I found this, the closer I get into the perfect will of God, the more blessing comes my way. See, a lot of people are just trying to use their faith to get the blessing. I'm going to tell you what, the biggie to do is not just sitting around trying to believe God for stuff. It's get into His perfect will. His full blessings and His perfect will. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes His perfect will don't seem happy. His perfect will didn't seem wonderful to me concerning starting a church. That didn't seem like, boy, Ed, this is going to be a good time. Let's get at it. But you know, when I finally stepped over into it and said, okay, Lord, I'm here. You know, first I drug my feet into the thing. But when I did go into it, then I just said, well, Lord, here's what you called me to. And I began to say concerning this, this is my place of milk and honey. God's called me here to this place. This is the place God supplies for me. He has to supply. If He don't supply, if He don't give me the money and that stuff to live, take care of my family, I don't have to do His will. I'll move. I don't have to obey God if His promises are just a bunch of nice things on a page. I'm going to tell you what, I don't need a promise box. I got a book full of them. But it's God to carry out the promise, not Ed. God's the carrier of the promise. And if I get into His perfect will, He has to take care of me. It's just like with Kenneth Hagin. When he left the perfect will, the Lord said, well, I couldn't take care of that for you. I couldn't keep doing that. I was looking after you. But if I didn't stop this thing, you'd be dead at 55. The devil would kill you. Can you imagine? Kenneth Hagin died at 55. I'd have never knew anything in Rhema Bible Training Center. I'd have never, you know, had the wonderful opportunity to sit down and listen to all the wonderful teaching over the years that I got. Well, that would have never taken place. Thank God He put the brakes on him. Thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah, for our sake. And He did it for our sake. He did it for our sake. And that's one of the things is I really honor concerning the revelations that came from that ministry, because that those revelations that God brought through that ministry are loads of things that the church world has left today and are not walking in it, and that's why the move of God has stopped. Those revelations, God called that man to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ, and the church has gone on to all kinds of things except with the revelations that were brought. And that's why I want to follow these revelations and walk in them. I want to go back to the things. I tell you what, we want to go back to baptism of the Holy Ghost. We want to walk. We want that stuff taking place. We want people getting filled with the Spirit. We want people, you know, there's many that have turned around and been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues, but don't ever do it anymore. They don't ever do it. They haven't done it. It's of no value. You don't tell people you're filled with the Holy Ghost if you don't ever use it. You ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. You got one time you were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a whole different story to be full of the Holy Ghost and use it. It's something that we use. We're supposed to edify ourselves and do those kinds of things. We're supposed to be doing that. You aren't, the word edify, you know, they can also be used, the word just as charge up. You know, Jude said about building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you have weakness of faith problems, it's because you have weakness of spirit problems. It's because you don't pray in other tongues. You don't build yourself up. You don't charge yourself up. See, God gave us a way to charge our inner man up, make him strong, so you could have strong faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word, but it don't get strong by hearing the Word. becomes by doing what the Word says. That's what makes faith strong. Doing what the Word says. The Word, you know, you listen to the Word a lot, you'll really get strong. I know people listen to the Word and they can hardly believe God for a thing. Why? Because all they have, they're just, yeah, I have faith. How strong is it? You know. You have gas in my car. I'm gonna drive to New York. I got an eighth of a tank. Well, you'll find me along the road somewhere. And that's the most Christian in their faith life. They're stuck along the road somewhere because they don't ever fill their tank. And they're trying to have faith. I've never had trying to have faith. I'm going to tell you what. I heard what the Word says. I know I have it. Now, what I need to do is get it charged up good. I need to be strong on the inside. Most people are trying to always get strong on the outside. Now, get things done by on the inside. My inner man is what brings things to pass. The power of God lives within me. The power of God don't live in my head. It don't live in my flesh. The power of God, the Holy Ghost, is in my spirit. The communion that I have with God is with my inner man. I don't come in contact with God with my mind. I don't come in contact with Him with my mind. I come in contact with Him on the inside of me with my spirit. And then when my spirit will let some things dawn on my little brain up there, that pea that floats around up there that rolls from place to place. And you know what it's like. You hear it every once in a while too. Yours, you know. Up there rolling around. And realize it. It is. You get revelation, it comes from God. It don't come from your smart. I don't care how much you went to school or how brilliant you think you are. I want to tell you, it doesn't happen that way. I don't care how, well, I can read. I don't care if you can read. I know people, I've met people on the mission field that couldn't read and they knew more about God than 90% of preachers I've run into. Because they knew the Holy Ghost. They had experienced Him. They knew how to walk in Him. That's what counts. See, I found out, you know, this. I can just tell you this is the truth. Going on the mission field over the years, the people I get among that are the less educated, I can get more of a move of God going. Why? Because they ain't trying to think about it. They just show up, I ain't brilliant, we want God. No, today we want a nice intellectual sermon. Give me a nice 3-point thing, you know. I want to go, you know, and do it in 20 to 25 minutes so I can get out of here. And I got to have all these things. But I want to move a God. My God. The only thing that God can get them is to move out of their seat, to run to their car, to head out. That's the move of God. Shortest sermons as we can get, you know. And they brag about them. I get around Rhema. I go to Rhema. You know, they have their things. And oh, they'll sit and brag. They preach for 20 minutes. They'll brag about, oh yeah, you know, don't want to wear the people out. Could you imagine you went to college and all you ever got was 20 minutes a day they gave you? I mean, in fact, the church, they get 20 minutes in 1 week. That's what people get. In 1 week's time, that's all the God they get is 20 minutes. 20 minutes of sermon, and then you're supposed to live a life. How would you like to go to a doctor and he said, hey, look, I went 5 years to college and every week I got 20 minutes of teaching on medical stuff. Wow, give me a scalpel. Come on, lay out. I can't wait to cut you. You're there, oh yeah, yeah, do it to me. But we listen to these stupid preachers. Call them good men. Just cause they get a crowd. Magnify what the devil's doing. Belittle Jesus. Say, it's good. Yeah, I tell you what, it makes the flesh feel good. It makes the flesh feel good. See, we need to get past this stuff. We need to move a God. I mean, in Topeka, Kansas, I mean, they had been praying all day and into the night till midnight, and they were still praying when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Gee, what if they'd have done a 20-minute? We'd be to our day to this time, and still the Holy Ghost wouldn't have been poured out in Topeka. Well, you might as well laugh. The church has got to be a mess. It has. It's got to be a mess. But we have to realize, I can't follow certain paths. I can't do it. And whether my flesh likes it or not, it's going to have to submit to some things. Because why? I want to move a God. I'm tired of the move of men. I am fed up with it. I'm fed up with this stuff. I don't want it. I want God to move. I want people to say, you know what? Ed couldn't do that. He had to have God help him. Dear Lord, he ain't bright enough. No, we want to, oh, you're just such a wonderful guy and you just do such great things. Man, I don't need that. No man needs that. No woman needs that. You don't need your head built up. Because it'd all be a lie anyhow, but you're not near as good as you think you are. Hallelujah. It's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. But see, we need to come back to the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. We need to come back to those things. Let's stand on our feet. I just want to ask today, if you're here, I'm going to ask a couple different things. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you want to be, now look, folks, understand this. I'm not condemning anybody today. What it is, I'm speaking concerning the church world. They're not doing these things, and we need to come back to these things of being filled with the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Spirit. We need to do that. If individual, you haven't ever been baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Say, well, you know, what do I have to do? Well, it's the most simple things you do is you just receive it. The Holy Ghost is already here. You don't have to ask God to give it to you. The Holy Ghost has been given. What we do is we receive it. You know, Jesus Christ said himself, if a person asked for the Holy Spirit, he said God would give it to them. They would. Well, he was talking about concerning the day of Pentecost. And he wasn't talking about salvation. He said about if they would ask for the Holy Spirit. Well, we know this, and that statement made, just because a person got born again, they didn't get the Holy Spirit like people think. We have the witness of the Spirit in us, but it's another thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a totally different thing. And so, and the evidence is speaking in other tongues. Say, well, I don't know how to speak in other tongues. Thank God you don't have to know how to speak in tongues. That's not what it's about. It's not about a natural language. It's not a natural language. Speaking in tongues. In fact, the word tongues in the Greek means a naturally unacquired language, which means it's not learned. It's not a learned language. Now, let me just say this. This is an interesting thing. When we read over, and people, you know, read over in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, and they don't realize, I've heard hardly any ministers ever preach or make mention of this, but the first verse of the chapter makes mention, it says, and it talks about, he said, it's dealing on the areas of love, it's talking about love. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, you know, it profits me nothing. You know, he made a statement there. He said, if I speak in tongues, that's that same word, it's a naturally unacquired language. He was talking about languages of men. We, on the day of Pentecost, though, they spoke languages of men. But they didn't know them. They were naturally unacquired. That's one of the sides of tongues. Tongues, you could speak out a language that you don't know. Also, there's the language of angels. There's, in other words, heavenly languages. I really became real to me. The Lord taught me and showed that to me concerning tongues, you know, a number of times ago, because that word, he didn't say if I didn't speak in certain languages, he used the word tongues, and it's the same one, speaking about when you speak in other tongues. And he used that same, it's the same term he used. And he's talking about two different supernatural languages. He's not talking about you're speaking just the language that you know and speaking in other tongues. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about whether you do those stuff, you don't have love, it doesn't profit you anything. Well, we want stuff to profit us. You know, we want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I want it to profit me. No, I do anyhow. Hallelujah. But it really became real to me when Marietta Davis, I had her book when she got back in the 1840s, caught up to heaven. And she was for 9 days in heaven. In fact, on the earth, she was in a trance down here in her body. At first, they thought she had died. For 9 days, her body was in a trance. She got caught up to heaven. And she said something, and it really took me right where the Lord taught me about that scripture and showed that to me. Because she made this statement. She said there was these angels that would take her around and show her things. They would take her to different places and show her different stuff. And anyhow, sometimes these angels would talk to each other in another language, in other languages. They were talking in heavenly languages. These are the languages of the angels in heaven. And she thought they were just trying to keep things from her. And she said to them, why do you talk? There's something you guys don't want me to know. He said, why are you guys talking that language so I don't understand? He said, there's things that cannot be expressed in natural languages of the earth that they can only be said in heavenly languages. See, people say, well, why tongues? Because you can speak things that you could never speak out of a natural language in this earth. And you need to know it. Let's just take natural languages. I remember going to India and preaching in India. And one of the guys who was there was with me from India. He said to me, he said, now when you preach, he said, if you talk about the word love, he said, you need to understand this. There's no such word as love in the Hindi language. There's no word for love. There's not, you can't. See, this is one of the times, too, as people do as translations of the Bible. Sometimes you need to be careful because they try to translate like a word for a word. You can't do that lots of times. And so there was no word in the Hindi language for love. Well, just like, so how would you express that over there? How would you express that? It's interesting. I talked to the guy for a while of how you express or how their language expresses or how their language would, how do you get around over it? There was no real clear way of how you could say certain things. You could say it. You almost had to say things in their language to say it, that they would understand what you're talking about. Because we don't have any words in the American English that fit. They don't fit to it. They can't fit around to it. Well, our language is here on earth. You know, I can understand why Paul later on in that same chapter said, we look through a glass darkly. Then face to face. One day we're going to get the face to face part. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that face to face stuff. I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. It's face to face. But right now, in many ways we are. But God gave us a supernatural way to deal over in the area of the Spirit, to be able to speak things out perfectly. Though in the realm, you understand, praying out of your, just out of your mind will not get a lot, will not get anything done. It's out of your spirit, your inner man. Praying from what's inside of you. You see, if you're going to change things in the spirit, you will do them by speaking them out. God gave us divine language to be able to speak things out that'll change things in the realm of the spirit, in languages that can express things like they need to be said in the realm of the spirit. When you're praying in tongues, it is much more supernatural than you ever thought it was. You're doing something absolute. Everybody says, I want some supernatural. Well, when's the last you prayed in tongues? Well, I don't do that too much. I don't like that. Why? Because I don't like the supernatural. I want you to understand this. The supernatural to the church is tied to tongues. You remove tongues, the supernatural leaves. It leaves. It is tied. The supernatural is tied to tongues. That's where it's at. Hallelujah. Well, I just did a little teaching there on that because I want you to understand the importance of what I'm talking about. I'm not making mention about her. This is just some nice thing God wanted. God is interested in His perfect will. When people get filled with the Holy Ghost, that's His perfect will because they become a vessel that He can change things in this earth. He can turn things around supernaturally in this earth through that. That's why it was given. It was given for that purpose. God wants to do something supernatural. You think you want God to do something supernatural? He wants it 100 times more than you ever wanted it. He's been pushing and shoving, trying to get it done past His people who are saying, we want God to move. Well, you ain't got a clue how much He's saying, well, yeah, I've been trying to. Look, don't get into condemnation, please. Hallelujah. God's just talking to us, moving back over to the supernatural. Hallelujah. We come and drink of the wells that we drank at before that bought moves of God. And this is God's move, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that has never left. It's only left the church, you know, and people didn't want it. But God's never changed concerning it. And if you're interested in that today, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, I'm giving you an invitation for God to fill you today with the Holy Ghost. If you want to be. If you like to be, well, just come on down. The price is right. I also want to lay hands on people. You have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you may be for a long time, but you really don't use it and haven't used it, and you need a refire. I understand. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has to do about the fire of God. And if you want fire, that's where it's at. That's where the fire is. It's in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so if you haven't been using it, haven't been doing it, come on down. No condemnation. No condemnation to anybody whatsoever. You know, if you want more fire, well, God's in the fire business. I don't know. He probably throws some gas on you today. Hallelujah. That's the way God is. You know? And so to be filled with the Holy Ghost is an easy thing. See, God wants to bring fire back to the church again. That's what He's doing. Hallelujah. You know, folks, He's been working on me a lot longer than probably He's been working on you, trying to get me to fire up. Hallelujah. I realize I ain't been fired like I should. You know, we're down in... Down here in Pensacola, and there's just certain things that Randall Greer said, and I said, man, Ed, I got to strap up. You know, hallelujah. So don't feel like, you know, don't get over the thing. There's something wrong with you and you're weird. God's not mad at anybody. God's not upset about anything. What he wants to do is us to get back into the fire again. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing as I've learned this over the years. When I'm in the fire, I'm a happier boy. Ain't nothing worse than trying to live by your own power. I don't know about you. Ain't nothing worse than doing that. You want to move over on this side? Come over here. Just walk across here. Just come over that side. Sort of even it out here. We don't want to tip the building over here. We're going to all get on this side. Okay. Now let me ask you, how many of you here have never been filled with the Holy Ghost? You've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence speaking of the tongues. Okay. You've never, okay. Well, I just want to know because we're going to be ministering to people, so we know that. I just want to share some things with you. Jesus made this statement. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, it would be given to you. That's it. So we know this. If we ask for it, we're not saying God to God about something that, well, now we got to find out whether he wants to do it. It's already, no, it's a given. He already told you, ask for it, he's going to give it to you. So what we're doing here today is just like when you got born again, anybody gets born again. We come and we pray, we ask Jesus, we confess what the Word of God says. See, you wouldn't come for salvation if you didn't know God was going to give it to you or not. Maybe he wouldn't want to. You come, we're inspiring people that you come, Jesus will save you. You ask Jesus to save you, he's going to do it. Well, it's the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're not trying to get something that God is asking you to ask for, but he hasn't made a decision. What qualifies you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just this, being born again. And Paul said to him in Ephesus, do you guys get the Holy Ghost since you believed? Why? It's a given. In other words, that's what God does. I mean, he gets his people saved. He wants them filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he does. So we know this today. If we ask him by faith, and how we do it by faith is just this simple. We ask him and believe we receive it. When we pray, we believe. It's that simple. All I do is I believe he gave it to me when I asked for it. That's praying about faith. It's that simple. I just believe that God gave it to me when I asked for it. And see, then what we're going to do, we're going to act like he gave it to you, and we're just going to thank God, thank him for giving us the Holy Ghost like he said he would. Hallelujah. Now see, if you already have it, I'm going to lay hands on you, and you know, the Holy Ghost just stir you up again to pray in tongues and start moving in that area again, and we're going to, as we go along. Now, the whole thing is, understand this, if you've never been filled with the Holy, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, understand this. God don't talk in tongues, the Holy Ghost don't talk, we do. We give utterance. And what you do is you just give utterance. When we start over to the tongues part, don't speak anything in English or say anything in English. Start speaking out. This is something that happens on the inside, not on the outside. It's not on the outside. Now, sometimes people, you know, really sense the Holy Ghost come on them. Sometimes you don't. I didn't, so I can't say it's going to happen to everybody. I don't know. Sometimes it does. But this I know, God will fill you today with the Holy Ghost, and you will leave here speaking in other tongues as the Spirit will give you utterance, and he will give it. On the day of Pentecost, he gave them all utterance. He didn't say, well, I've got to give those two over there and the rest of you, good luck. Because number one, you need this experience because when you pray in other tongues, it's a tool to edify yourself. When they taught people that, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues, what they said is, you're never going to move much in the Spirit because you can't edify yourself. Because if you don't speak in tongues, you can't edify yourself. You want to be able to build yourself up. And we do it through praying in other tongues. That's what makes it a wonderful thing. You know, and it sounds strange. And I realize why the church world has moved away from this. Because it don't fit the natural mode of reasonable people. Why you'd want to do this. It doesn't fit that mode. So they say, well, you know, people will think we're weird doing this. So let's get rid of it. We don't want to have it around. I say, no, drag it on back. Let's all look crazy. Say, did you hear them all them people down there talking in tongues? Say, yeah, wasn't that good? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you what, this group of people is going to revolutionize this community. We're going to revolutionize this community. We're going to offer what ain't being offered. We're talking about, people talk about a lot of things, but they know very little about the Spirit. I don't care if they say they believe in the baptism. They know very little about it. You people know a lot about things of the Spirit. You know a lot of stuff. Hallelujah. You know how to cooperate with God. You have a hunger in you for something more than what religion offers. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, God will answer you big time. Hallelujah. He'll answer you big time just based on that. Now, what we're going to do Now, maybe you're already filled here with the Holy Ghost. We're all just going to, you know, go here together. You've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're just going to do it. This will help the ones who are receiving the Holy Spirit for the first time. And we're just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to say some things, and you just repeat them after me. Now, when you repeat them after me, you know, just do it from your heart, from out of your inner man. That's out of your inner man. Believe it in your heart when you say these things. But there's just some very simple things to being filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, I'm going to do something here once, so we can. This will be a help to us here. Glory to God. I want to be a help to you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Acts, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak. It says they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You will know this. The Spirit will give you utterance. He will do that because He did to them. We find if you go through the Scriptures, you find in the Scriptures that's what He did to everyone. Everyone who got filled. If there's five incidences in the New Testament, and we know that there's five incidences that are specific places where people got filled with the Holy Ghost. It talks about others, but specifically ministering, they all ended up speaking in tongues. You know, people say, well, Paul didn't talk in tongues. Well, he sure did. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So we know when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he talked in tongues. And I figure if Paul's talked in tongues more than everybody else, I'd learn this about him. He got more revelation than anybody else. So I figured it did him that good, I could sure use a little. I don't know about you. But we're going to do that. I want you to relax. You're not afraid. Don't be afraid that God's not going to give you what he said he would. He's going to do it today. He's going to fill. When I lay hands on you, the Holy Ghost is going to come on. You're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We ain't doing this. I wouldn't tell a guy, say, you come up here to get saved. Well, good luck. You might get saved today, but maybe you'll have to go home and next week get it. I don't know. No, if he receives Christ, he's going to get saved. Hallelujah. And you're just here to receive the Holy Spirit. And that God is going to do exactly what he said. Now, I want you people out here, when we do this and minister to them, I want you to pray in other tongues. You know, pray in other tongues. And, you know, when we pray, to pray in other tongues because we want people to see and understand. We operate in this thing. And it helps them. When we get over this way, we're not hooked up in the natural. We're over in the Spirit too. Hallelujah. Hooked up, helping them. And that's what we want to do is we want to help them. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray here. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to repeat this to me, after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm just coming to you right now in Jesus' name. You said if we ask for the Holy Spirit, that you'd give it to us. And I want to thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. When hands are laid on me, the Holy Ghost is coming on me. And I will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And speak in other tongues. As the Scripture says. So I thank you, Lord God, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you for filling me today. Thank you that I can pray in other tongues and edify myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that the fire of God's going to work in me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk down and lay hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost. And I want you out there, just start praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Receive it. Hallelujah. Use your mouth in the name of Jesus. Speak it out. Hallelujah. Just speak out. Glory to God. Just speak in the name of Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. You're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sallagoyate, Burokitishna, Vandagalashe, Letaparande, Le. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Sondagele atoteshi, Lumbrega, Lumbredo de Vesisgilia, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're full of the Holy Ghost. Just speak out, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Speak in other tongues. Yes, hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. She's full of the Holy Ghost. Speak out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Speak in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's out in the inside, not on the outside, or not in the mind. It's not words out of your mind. Borokatana. Oh yeah, hallelujah. 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 Open your mouth in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the, you can't talk with a closed mouth. You can't talk. Dugusta. Dugusta. Landa. Luka. Brikatishna Mokotishna Nakaya. Lobratisadafaratikishila Kayata. In the name of Jesus. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sangodina Namakayata Teshna Dagoyata. Brota Tadaginyana Dagodisha. Oh, Lahare Kadishna Lakayada Galakadisha. Lagadigashisha. You got it. You got it. Gushki Bokatishna Mabrokati. Kumbara Humbra Dishna Mamakayapagushi. Gushki Pokashki Kokishka Nana Katatakashika Kokoshiko Koyo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't talk in anything English. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, Gombrate, Brusha, Vendor, Data, Dishka. Yeah, you the Gushkika, Alagadaka. In the name of Jesus, be full of the Holy Ghost. Be filled in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Just, they might seem like strange to make sounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody you didn't speak in other tongues? You didn't speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't talk in the natural. Don't use your voice to say natural things. Hallelujah. It's out of the inner. You're full of the Holy Ghost came on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, well, that just seems, I know what you're over here in your mind. I know what you're in your mind about it. It ain't coming from your mind. See, eternally, it don't matter what your mind, thinks, forget about it. Your mind will stop you. See, on the inside, you hook up. See, well, you know, it sounds like I'm just making noises. Well, good luck. That's what I'm doing. Hallelujah. On the inside. I'll tell you, you speak with tongues. It's on the inside of you. See, you're born again. The Holy Ghost has come on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Start making some noises with your mouth. Make some noises. Ongarashi, ashirika, ombra tita, ombra kaka, ora kisha, endige yoti adishanaka yalaka deshalakia, dara burushke baria dasatskia, ha shilakiata. Hara. So you say, well, that don't sound like tongues. Well, what does some tongues sound like? I don't have a clue. Now, let me say this to you. I want you to understand this about tongues. And this is what a lot of people don't get. Understand this. We articulate tongues. God doesn't. We articulate it. It's just like as a child learns a language. The more I have spoken in tongues, the more I have developed a language. It's just like a child does. See, the more you learn to yield over to the Spirit, and the more I learned over the years to yield to the Spirit, I speak different sometimes in different tongues, and now there's a difference in tongues when tongues are interpretation. But in my own prayer life, I articulate different languages. I speak an actual language. I speak languages when I pray in tongues. I mean, I've got the point of you articulate what you say. And it's not, when you first start off, you didn't go there. You know, to me, it sounded like, what on earth are you doing, Ed? Just like you're making noises. But it's the same way with a child. A child starts off, and you learn to articulate a language. You learn to do that. The more you yield over to it and pray, the more you articulate your language. So don't think it's strange. You get over and you see, you make some noises and you think, well, that don't sound like anything. But I tell you, start to practice it and do it. Start to take it and start to do it. Those noise, those sounds, and start to do it. Start to speak it. The Holy Ghost will articulate a language through you. It'll start coming up out of your spirit more and more. And the more you do it, the more articulated you get in that speaking that language. And so that's why sometimes you listen to people and you think, well, man, they seem with tongues, and mine just seems like a little bit of a muttering over in here, and that's, mine don't seem like much of anything. No, don't stop the muttering. That's the devil to try to get. He's just trying to stop me get to doing the muttering. You ain't doing anything. But over time, I learned how to yield to my spirit, and I could articulate language. And after a while, I just became very fluent. It just flow out of me. That's why Paul said, you know, he says he would pray in his understanding. I pray in either in the spirit or understanding. He said, I do that. He didn't say the Holy Ghost did. It's my language now. It's what I speak. It's what I do. See, and people say, well, now you're acting like you do it without God. No, I'm doing it with God. But number one, I do it. If I don't do it, it don't get done. And I articulate. So when the more I began to practice doing that, the more it became over in an area of actually becoming a language to me. Now, let's everybody get over, concentrate again. Let's go back over, because you understand the tongues. Paul said, I pray in the spirit, and I pray in my understanding. In other words, he's saying by his will, he does this. You don't need a feeling by the Holy Ghost to do this. You do it. See, people want a feeling by the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues. You don't need any feeling by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in my understanding. Now let me say, if I ask you right now to, you know, pray for one another up here, you know, for healing or whatever, now you're praying from what your understanding is, would you have to wait till the Holy Ghost comes on you that you could pray for somebody? Well, Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in my understanding also. In other words, by my will, I do it. See, you can by your will. See, you couldn't wait to be edified till only the Holy Ghost came on you to get edified. By your will, you can do it. By your own will. You can pray in other tongues. You can just start to do it anytime you want to. And I know if people say, well, it just sounds like it's just you. Well, it is just you. It's just what God, that's the way God made this thing. It's the way He made it work. It's just you. And so operate in it in that way, you know, because the devil tried to stop me because I got over in that thinking and I didn't have anybody around to teach me. And I thought, well, man, you know, maybe this is right. Maybe this is just me doing something dumb, you know, and thank God the Holy Ghost helped me in my ignorance. And so we need to go over. Let's just take some time right now. We're just going to pray in other tongues. You say, well, I don't have much of any sound or anything like that. Start making them. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is who articulates the language. In other words, when I pray in tongues, He makes the understanding out of it, not me. I don't understand. It says, when I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to men, but unto God. See, what are you saying to it? Ain't got a clue. Sometimes I get the interpretation when I pray, but that don't happen all the time. Very seldom that happens. Many times I'm just edified myself. And somebody say, well, what are you praying about? Ain't got a clue, man. I'm just talking in tongues, but I know this. If I do it, it edifies me. As Jude said, building yourself up in your most holy faith. That's what we're doing. Amen? So let's pray. So let's just stop here. Now, just as you can do it right now, you can do this. You can do this at any time. The one thing I like about tongues, I can be out mowing the yard praying in tongues. I don't have to have my mind go, man, I can go out for a run and exercise. I can turn around praying in other tongues while I'm running down the road. I can do that. I can edify myself. And you know, I've learned to do that over time and got revelations while I was running on things. God would speak to me while I'm running down the road talking in tongues. I go along my car and talk in tongues. And sometimes I get pretty vocal about it. And I often wonder what other people think when they see that idiot over there. Who on earth is he talking to himself about in that car? I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to God. Let me alone. Hallelujah. Who's that crazy man? But we can do that. And I want you to do this, is learn to articulate it. Take time out and do this thing. Now, I want you to say this after me. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like Jesus said. And I speak in other tongues. Because I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, you may have to do that sometime, because I tell you, the devil won't come along to you and tell you, well, you know, he had you doing that stuff up there. And that's just you. Well, I'm going to tell you, if it was just you, the devil would be buddying up and saying, do that all the time. Just keep doing this thing. Because, no, it isn't just you. Another one, the Holy Ghost, God is what makes sense of all this stuff. This is why when you get over in these areas like dealing with tongues, you can't operate in the area of the mind, the thinking, because it's not in the realm of thinking. It's not there. It's not there. If you try to get over and reason it out in your mind, there ain't no good reason what on earth we're doing these things. But the Bible says it edifies you, it builds you up. It says you're speaking heavenly languages to God. God understands it. God knows what it's about. We don't. Hallelujah. You can talk in the tongues of the angels. You can speak, you're speaking heavenly language. Say, how many languages has God up there? I ain't got a clue. Never told me anything about it. Hallelujah. But the language that I have and I'm developing and I'm maturing in and I'm working in, that's my language, my heavenly language that I talk to God in. And there's one that I flow along in. Most of the time it's pretty similar to there. Sometimes I get over into what's called other tongues and I get into those areas. The anointing will come on to me and I start talking in other strange things. But we do that. I have never personally spoke in another natural language in the earth, but there are people who have done that. I've known people were praying in tongues already that were speaking in other language, and other people heard them praying in tongues and said, do you know that you're talking such as a? They heard it was a witness to the individual. So you may do that sometime. You may do that. I don't know. But those things are as the Spirit wills on those kind of things. But continue to use that language. It builds you up. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, that's where the fire of God is tied into our life. The more that I spent time over in the areas with praying in tongues and getting over, because what happens is, I don't know about you, it is easy to get into the flesh. It's easy to be in the flesh. But when we're praying in other tongues, we're not doing something natural. It's not natural. And it's a good thing to help us get over into the area of the Spirit, is the praying in tongues. I found out over time, a praying in other tongues will get me more concentrated over in the areas of the Spirit than it does in me being over in the flesh. Sometimes praying out of my own understanding, you know, you can get on your own thinking about stuff and things like that. I'll stop many times and I'm praying about something and I'll just say, Lord, you know, I prayed all I know about this thing. And Lord, I want to thank you because the Bible says the Spirit gives us utterance. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit's going to give me utterance to pray in this certain situation. Because I don't know what, the Bible says sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought. I don't know what to pray. You know, Lord, I only know so much about this. So right now, Holy Ghost, I want to thank you. You're going to help me pray this thing out. I do it many times for people. I don't know what to pray for people all the time. If I would have, you know, with people, I don't know what goes on in everybody's life. But I can pray for people in other tongues. God knows what's going on in everybody's life. He knows every situation. He knows why everything goes on. And I can say, Holy Spirit, help me in this language you gave me to pray out for them your divine and perfect will and plan for them. And I'll just start praying in other tongues for them. Say, Lord, you know what's causing the problems in their life. I don't always know the problems. And take a time and pray in other tongues, and you can do that. See, and I learn over times, it helps. There's people I prayed in tongues for, and I tell you what, in my mind I thought, man, am I helping them at all? But man, after a while, found out things started changing for them. Hallelujah. Just didn't pray in other tongues. See, well, how did you make a change? I ain't got a clue, but God knows, and God worked the thing out. And see, this is your cooperation. You give the Holy Ghost your voice. Just think, you let God pray through you. That's what you were doing up here. God was talking through you. God was, wasn't you? You were doing the voicing, but God knows the language, and He knows what's said. Hallelujah. It might be nice sometimes. Sometimes he'll reveal to you things He's said. But you just keep practicing. I just want to encourage you. Keep taking it and keep practicing doing it. Hallelujah. Whether you feel like it or not, take time every day And you know, you don't have to take, you know, you take an hour to shut. I just, you know, through the day, just during different times through the day, I'll just pray in other tongues. I'll be doing something, praying in other tongues. I'll be working. I always like to, any job I ever worked on, I could work on a job and I'd pray in tongues. I mean, I do this all the time. I sit down, I find myself sitting down there studying the Bible. Next thing I do, and I hear myself praying in tongues while I'm sitting there in the Bible. I can read and pray in tongues. I can do it because they ain't hooked on the same thing. I can read. One's dealing with my mind. The other one's out of my spirit. There are people, and this has literally happened, there are people who are deaf and dumb, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they could talk in tongues, but they could not talk other than that. Why? Because the language wasn't coming out. It had to do with their mind or their bodies coming out of their spirit. A language was out of their inner man, not out of the outer man. And they could speak. That's happened many times. They turn around and end up getting healed, but the whole thing of it is, what's going on is something that's on the inside. Hallelujah. Tongues is about what's in you, not on the outside. You're doing something supernatural. Say, well, it don't feel like it. Who cares? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it feels like it. It is. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for blessing these ones. Thank you today, Lord God. Father, I thank you. Lord God, you're going to do marvelous and wonderful things. Father, I thank you that each one of these are going to find there's going to be changes in their lives. There's some things that are going to begin to change. There's revelation that's going to come to them, understanding about things. Lord God, they're going to step into places. Father God, they're going to get senses inside themselves, Lord God, of doing things, Lord God, where you're going to start to speak through them and work through them supernaturally. Lord God, give them wisdom for others, hallelujah, that will manifest through the gifts of the Spirit, Lord God, the word of knowledge, Father, especially the word of knowledge, Lord God, operating through them as being a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name, Lord God, where they can help them supernaturally, Lord God. Father, I expect you to use them mightily, Lord God, in all the gifts. Lord God, gifts of healings, hallelujah, working of miracles, whatever, Lord God, that you'll begin, hallelujah, helping them, Father God, to minister, Lord God, to others. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming up. See, we have a hunger here in this place, don't we? We have a hunger here. There's a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness is just on what's right, isn't it? Hallelujah. Just in what's right. And that's why if we go after it, hallelujah, we just keep going after it. Just encouraging, you know, and in fact, you people, these ones that come up, you know, during the week, pray for them. You know, keep them in your prayers. Encourage, pray for them. Hallelujah. Because, you know, I've learned a long time ago, when somebody gets something, the devil sure won't want you to have it. He'll come along. We're the body of Christ. We've got to look out for each other. Hallelujah. We've got to stand for each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we're on a road heading somewhere. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get exactly where we want to go. Hallelujah. We're going to arrive at the place we desire to be in. It's not going to be, hey, look what we've done. It doesn't matter. The whole thing is this. We're going to be able to bless this community. And that's what we want to do. We want to bless the people. We want to bless the people that live around us. We want to be a blessing to people. I expect everything that God has shown me over the years concerning what's going to happen in this valley, I believe every bit of it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it's going to happen. Every bit of it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And praise God. God told me that He called me to this thing in this time, and that's why He's put me here concerning and staying here. I'll tell you, I sure did want to leave. But there's one thing is, I this is not anything big head. I know this. I know that I'm an integral part about what is going to take place. And a lot of it has already been taking place because of the preaching of the word and the things are just being ministered. See, God needs a voice somewhere. Things cannot come to pass if there's not a voice declaring it. There must be a voice declaring it. And God is, there's things that God showed me is so I will continue to declare the voice of these things coming to pass because this will bring them to pass. I've been anointed to do it. Hallelujah. So God will anoint you and you start to, if God reveals these things and shows them to you, you begin to speak them. Hallelujah. Out of your spirit, start speaking about this community. You know, the things that God has shown me concerning vision. I learned to pick up things in Brother Hagin's vision and began to declare the things. People say, well, that was his. No, I'm under that anointing and I'm declaring these things. Hallelujah. Because we're moving in the same direction. Glory to God. We're heading in the same place. And so the same things we're bringing to pass. Wow, that's God's plan for for us. And I tell you, that's God's plan for this valley here. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, people are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost again. Hallelujah. We're going to see those things happen and more. We're going to see a greater... We had a really good move of God, you know, into the 70s and 80s in this valley. And I want to tell you, there was a good move of God. I mean, loads of people got filled with the Holy Ghost, healed wonderfully. Denominational ministers, loads of them. God moved through. Wonderful things took place. I'll tell you what. Well, we at least want to have that, don't we? You know. God wants to do that and more. And I'll tell you what. He will. Glory to God. He's going to shake some things up. And those that have seemed to be on the outside are going to turn around and jump on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised. The ones that seem to be the furthest away end up the ones jumping in the middle of it. Hallelujah. And some of them you think, oh my God, they'll want this. They'll head out of town. I don't know why, but it's always like that. There's always people you'd think they'd really all act like they really want God till God shows up. And then it's like, well, I didn't really want that. You know, I want the move of God, but not like yours. Okay, let's go do something else. People do. But folks, understand. That's what. But you know, we're not going to get mad at anybody. If anybody wants to go in the flow of God, praise God. If they don't want to, we're going to love them anyhow. We're going to love them anyhow. We're going to pray for them. We ain't going to fight people over it. If you want to move with God, join in. Hallelujah. Swim in our river. Hallelujah. The river that God gave us, let's go ahead and swim in it and enjoy it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your great love for your people. And Lord God, I just want to thank you personally for you being so patient with me. Oh, my, 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 my. Lord God, I know there's things that I should have made some switches a long time ago. And I did, and you've been very patient on me concerning the ministry you called me to. And I just want to say thank you. But Lord God, you've been patient to all of us here. Lord God, there's things that we have, all of us have left slip of the past that we know that we walked in. And we've let some things slip. But I want to thank you that you're great and you're merciful and you're kind to us. And I thank you for bringing us back to these things and your great kindness and love, Lord God. Father, because you know the desires of our heart is to reach out, Lord God, to reach our communities and reach people, Lord God. Lord God, we want those moves again where people come in. And Lord God, we want that hunger and fire back in the church world again. Hallelujah. Back in believers again, Father God. Father, with that hunger and thirst and people were just after the things of God. And Father, I thank you that we're walking into it. And I just appreciate so much that you gave us a part in this last day move. Lord God, there's all people all over this nation and around the world that you've set in places and parts to fulfill. And we have our part here. Thank you for giving us this part here. Father, there's others in this community that are hunger and thirsting for righteousness. There's others, Lord God. Father, there's some that they're hungering, but they don't even know what to look for. They don't. But inside of them, yet there's a drive for something more. And I thank you, Lord God, for working in them. And Lord God, we pray for that fire to burn in them, to keep their search, to keep their hunger, and to keep themselves, Lord God, so you can reveal yourself to them, Father God. Father, because no one person or no small group of people are just going to make everything happen. Father God, Father, we need laborers in the harvest. We need people that are joined in this fire of God, hallelujah, to bring to our valley, Lord God, your plans and your purposes, hallelujah, to ready a people for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, I thank you that we will be ready. We'll be standing together, hallelujah. Lord God, ready for Jesus' return, shouting at the top of our voice and letting people know, hallelujah, we're leaving, hallelujah, we're leaving, our master's returning, hallelujah, the Lord is coming back for his church. And I thank you, Father God, hallelujah, we will be ready in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you.